Well, thank you so much for welcoming us today. We're really happy to come and speak to you and share some of our experiences. We're really happy to see so many of you come to the memorial that we had after the shooting in Pittsburgh. It's nice to know that we have community allies. I'm Jenny. I am a professor at Lakehead. I've lived in Thunder Bay since 2005. Deborah will introduce herself when it's her turn, but we're gonna
sort of get you to move a little closer. Is that better?
Yeah.
It is good.
And we're going to sort of swap back and forth and hopefully stick to our time limit. So she and I are going to talk to you about our experiences. We wanted to do this together because our experiences are quite different. And we think that that's really important if we're going to talk about Jewish culture in any meaningful way. The global Jewish diaspora is united by culture, by language, and for those who engage in it, by religion. This doesn't mean that Jews are the same or that we agree on the big issues. There are as many different kinds of Jews as there are Jewish people, and our cultural group, like Christians, like Muslims, and others, ranges from Orthodox fundamentalist through to very progressive. All of us, though, share a sense of ourselves as Jewish, as the diaspora, as part of a global diaspora, and as part of a cultural group that unfortunately is, in most places globally, marginalized and at risk, whether those attacks be daily microaggressions or the more formal hatred that, again, we're increasingly seeing being spewed by white supremacist groups in our home countries. So Deborah and I, with our different experiences, are a good example of how this diaspora works and produces different people. I was born in British Columbia, and I lived in lots of different places there. Some of those places had Jewish communities. Victoria, where I consider home, for example, has Canada's oldest surviving synagogue, which is kind of cool. But I don't go there because it serves the conservative Jewish community, and I am not part of that community. I was raised in a non-religious, non-traditional household. For the most part, my family would knit in with the dominant group out of social necessity, especially when we were living in small towns. I remember, for example, being awarded the role of the Virgin Mary in our school's Christmas pageant prior to what I see as very necessary policy changes in the school systems to encourage diversity and inclusion. I took it happily, right, because it is pretty much the starring role except for the doll. So it was a great moment of early theatrical success for me, I felt. Now, as a parent, of course, I'm really grateful that there are policies that allow my son, Simon, to be able to be who he is and not to be forced to take on the religious trappings of a group that he doesn't belong to very often. In the larger centers of Vancouver and Victoria, when we lived there, because we were secular, we didn't join the synagogues. As a young adult, I found that a lot of my university friends were Jewish. We gravitated to each other as sort of cultural outsiders and allies. My friends were also secular, so we kind of do passing nods to the high holidays, to Hanukkah and Pesach, Passover, when they came and went. We were and are culturally Jewish, or Jew-ish, as we joke. We are aware of our cultural heritage, but not deeply involved. When I met my husband Ben while I was living in Scotland, he, like me, was Jew-ish. He, like me, was also bisexual. And because his grandfather was a Holocaust survivor, his family had kept their Jewishness close to the chest because of the murders that still loom as a trauma in his life, in Ben's life and his family's life. Because being Jewish is a culture as well as a religion, Ben and I had shared experiences being part of the non-religious branch of the Jewish diaspora, despite growing up continents apart. So how we had engaged culturally was very similar, right, as we looked, sort of shared our life experiences. When we moved in together, we happily and very loosely celebrated some holidays, admittedly the ones that call for lots of wine and food. We still do not fast for Yom Kippur. So we go smelling of breakfast sometimes to that everyone else is starving. Sorry. when Simon, our son, was born, there was a bit of a shift. You know, our culture became more important in that Ben and I saw that we now have this other Jewish person for whom we're responsible, whose family history and cultural practices would make him an outsider to the dominant group. How would we teach him about himself, we wondered. How would we teach him about us, about the world, about power, domination, white supremacy, which he sees, of course, in the news. And how do we support him through that? So now I'm going to turn it over to Deborah to talk about her experiences growing up.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Deborah Gold, and I work as a librarian at Lakehead University. Sorry, I have to do a little pitch for the library. You're all welcome to come as members of the community and get a library card and use our computers. Sorry, couldn't resist. So I grew up in Toronto, and I've lived in Thunder Bay for almost 15 years now. And my background is very much very different than a lot of the members of our synagogue in that I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish family. So I went to an all-girls Orthodox Jewish school until I was 16. I belonged to an all-girls Jewish youth group. I went to an all-girls Jewish sleepover camp for years. And even when I was in university, I also studied Hebrew and Jewish history. So it was sort of very much part of my life. However, when I turned 9, we moved to a very different type of neighborhood where there were Jewish people, but it was very multicultural. And I met many, many people from different faiths, religions, and ethnic backgrounds. So I had this kind of weird mix for myself, you know, all religious Jewish people 9 months out of the year. And then for the summer period, it was all non-Jewish and people from every background. So I grew up loving both sides of that. And then later, I actually lived in Israel for almost 13 years. And I worked as a librarian there. And then came to Thunder Bay. So the joke in my family is, well, he went from a Jewish community of about 300,000 to a Jewish country, mainly, and then you came to Thunder Bay with 130 Jews. But I actually, of all my experiences, this is my favorite one, because in a big community, you aren't really needed. In an Orthodox Jewish community, as a woman, you are not really counted. So I am part of the service. I am in the quorum. I am counted as one of the 10 for a service. I have taken part and done things I never would have done before. I have my own prayer shawl now. I wasn't supposed to have one before as a woman. My parents, surprisingly, Orthodox Jews, have been very, very, very helpful and indeed gifted me with the prayer shawl. So that's kind of been my background.
Yes, and also as another plug for Deborah, she does help prepare the kids for their bar and bat mitzvahs with the Hebrew lessons. So she's going to be helping Simon prepare for his bar mitzvah starting next year, I hope, although we haven't talked about that yet. Again, not usually a role that a woman would be even allowed to play in an Orthodox community. So it's really fabulous that we have her. So, back to us in Thunder Bay, Simon's on the scene, making our parental responsibilities to Jewishness a factor in how we think about our culture and enact our culture. Ben and I knew that Thunder Bay would not make this task easy. Prior to Simon's birth, Ben and I both had experiences that reminded us that we had come to a city that was not particularly accepting of diversity. Some of these experiences were the kind of gentle anti-Semitism produced by people who assume that everyone practices Christian holidays. The university, when we first moved here, held Senate meetings on late Friday afternoons into evenings. And while for us that wasn't a big deal, because we didn't celebrate Shabbat, other than Ben does occasionally whip up the bread, the traditional bread, the challah, and we have that with our meal. For our Jewish friends who did practice Shabbat, it was a problem. You know, you couldn't take on administrative roles because you couldn't attend Senate. So your career would be disrupted simply because the university didn't hold Senate on a night that wasn't a religious holiday. So some of it was that kind of structural pieces. Some of it was much more overt anti-Semitism. And I still often see a shift come over people's faces when they're trying to engage around holidays. And I have to say things like, oh, the Easter Bunny doesn't come to our house because we're Jewish. Then we get the, oh, but it's not Christian. It's about, you know, and they say, well, you know, we don't celebrate it, and Muslims don't celebrate it, and lots of groups don't who aren't Christian don't. So maybe it is connected, maybe. But there's often a look, right? The shift is a shutting down, a kind of closing in and a shutting out. And once, a look of disgust before the bearer regained composure of herself. Ben and I were once told quite happily by the person behind a counter that we had got a good deal on an upholstery job because the salesman had managed to Jew down the owner to a lower price. I hadn't faced that in a really long time because I had chosen to spend most of my adult life in cities. With Simon, Ben and I have certainly had meetings with the school board about the lack of application of the district's diversity policies and the lack of teacher training around inclusion and what that means. We even had to go so far as to pull Simon out of school for a little while when a particular teacher's anti-Semitic comments would leave him crying at the end of the day in senior kindergarten, exclaiming to me in the car that, Mom, sometimes it's hard being Jewish. And I said, yeah, it is. It doesn't get easier. These are not battles that we still want to have, but we have to do it. We have to continue to try to educate, create safe spaces, and keep working those pieces. So that is one side to being Jewish in Thunder Bay for my family. The other side is quite positive, right? As Deborah noted, as with other places we've lived, many of our friends here are Jewish. We gravitate to each other as allies and as support networks. We're a small and active community because, again, we have to be. If you're in a big city, you can easily be part of a community and just kind of swim through it. It's there. You've got the shops, the restaurants, the various other places. Here we have to make it happen. In Thunder Bay, we nurture our community in ways that we don't have to in larger centers. So, for example, this is the first synagogue that I've ever belonged to, you know, and not because I'm now religious, I'm not, but because I know that for those who are, we need to have 10 adults in the room, and I can be one of those adults. And furthermore, it is community, right? It is some kind of community for Simon, and it gives him a place where he's not weird and where he's surrounded by people who are his people and Jewish friends who understand him and know that Easter isn't actually secular. And that's important, right? It's important to have, for him to have a space where he knows that he is part of a group that is like him. So I've sat through high holiday services here so long, and I serve on and off on the synagogue executive. I'm happy to do it here because our community is full of feminists, full of queer people. We are very diverse and very progressive. We actively reject patriarchal religious teachings, and we bring in rabbis for the high holidays who are very progressive. So, for example, our current rabbi, Rabbi David, was the first rabbi in Canada to perform same-sex marriages. He's still the only rabbi in Canada who will bless cremains, because according to Jewish religion, you're not supposed to get cremated. And he's an activist in so many ways, nationally and internationally. So he's a good fit for us. And this may be the only synagogue I ever belong to, right, in my whole lifetime, because it's something that we can make that is our own vision of inclusion and the way that politically we want to do it. So being Jewish in Thunder Bay is a bit of a mixed bag. Problems with the diversity piece, hard to find the right cooking ingredients, and obviously the opportunity to nourish a community that represents the sort of Jewishness that I embrace.
So it's interesting that when I first moved here, I really thought, I'm going to have a real struggle because kosher food would be a problem. Community, well, who would I talk to? But I actually have found that the synagogue has been perfect for me because, again, I have a place. People actually want my participation. They want me to help. And I've also found the community, and I know that this city does have some serious issues with diversity, but I feel like the city's coming together and we're meeting, and the fact that we're here The fact that when we had that terrible tragedy in Pittsburgh, I can't tell you how touched I was and how safe I felt that all of you turned out and people from all over the city came. And that was so important to me. And in a big city, with a big community, you don't really mix. So for the first time, I feel like I'm learning about different people and learning about different traditions. And so I find it a rather positive experience. And while there are some microaggressions, I honestly feel that's because of lack of education. I don't feel like it's a personal racist or racial remark. I do really believe that people just, a lot of people just don't, are not familiar with some of these things. And so, you know, this is maybe something that I've always felt religion is very personal. And I very rarely talk about my religion, but I realize now maybe that's something that I have to do more if people are interested and want to hear about it. But anyways, the city has gotten much better, and you can actually get some kosher food here, so it's kind of
great. So that's us.